Welcome to the Old School Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, which features speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific if you'd like to. Go to the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for login information. And now, our speaker.
Hi, everybody. It's good to see all the people I love and have known for years. Just makes me emotional. There's just so many people that have helped me in so many ways in this program. Just to get you an idea of how I started, when I was 14, from 12 to 14, I put on 100 pounds. And at 12, I wasn't really thin. So, you know, I went to Weight Watchers as a kid with my mother and lost the 100 pounds in a year. And, you know, the rest of the story. It seems like one minute I weighed 140 and the next minute I weighed 240. And I couldn't tell you what happened in between. Talk about cunning, baffling, and powerful. I was so confused. And my mother was so mean. You know, she had bought me all these new clothes and everything. She said, just how fat do you plan to get? And you know what? I know that's a horrible thing to say because I had a horrible mother. In fact, my therapist went on to write a book called Horrible Mothers. And I think she used mine as her template. Anyway, so I knew that I didn't have a top weight, that I wasn't going to get to 300 and just magically stop. And so I continued to go to college. And after college, I got a job and I worked a small community hospital on the night shift and ate some more and gained some more. And a nurse at my job said, I went to a place called Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, they have that? I was so excited because I knew about AA. And she said, yeah, I went. I didn't like it at all, but I think it'd be great for a person like you. Still not sure what that means. But so I went and I was overjoyed, but just overjoyed. I heard people telling my story, and for the first time in my life, I felt blameless. They told me this was a disease that I didn't cause and couldn't cure. The lady who spoke lost 100 pounds. I got a sponsor. And they did mention that it was a spiritual program, but they handed me a diet at the same time. So that was a little conflicting. The problem was I couldn't stay on the diet. So I'd get 2 weeks, a month, sometimes 2 months, and I would just keep breaking my abstinence over and over again. And I'd start with something like this. I'd try to be making it to breakfast and lunch. You know, I'm a nurse. You probably know that nurses have great access to graham crackers. So I would have a graham cracker and go, oh, well, I've blown it anyway. I might as well. And that one graham cracker would lead to this horrendous binge. And I continued to do that, unfortunately, for the first 9 years. I couldn't abstain until I was in 9 years. And during these period of abstinence, I would try and have fits and starts and work the steps. There was this old man back then named Webster. When I say old, as old as I am now. And he was like the sage of Overeaters Anonymous. And he'd get up there and say all these weird things and these colloquialisms that I didn't understand because I was young, and these weird little riddles and jokes. And he'd say, do you know the difference between a psychotic and a neurotic? And everybody would just sit there looking and he'd go, I'll tell you the difference. The psychotic thinks 2 + 2 = 3. The neurotic knows 2 + 2 = 4, but he can't stand it. And that was me. I knew life as it was coming down the pike at me, but but I didn't like it. It wasn't fair. I was going to try to change it. I wasn't having any part of it. I was going to tell them. I was going to write a letter. This is before we had computers, thank God. I would have really been a freaking nutcase if I had a little computer or phone on my hands. Oh, it would have ruined a lot of relationships. So anyway, one of the first spiritual awakenings, many of you have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. One of the first spiritual awakenings I had was on the 11 to 7 shift. And on that shift, they decided to fire all the housekeepers and told all the nurses they would be emptying the trash cans. Mind you, we didn't have to mop floors or anything like that. It would just be emptying the trash cans. So, of course, I call my sponsor in a frenzy. And I said, can you believe this? I didn't go to school to empty trash cans. They should hire housekeepers. I'm a nurse. I'm this, I'm that. And my sponsor listens to my diatribe and then says, but Helen, wouldn't it just be easier to empty the trash can? You know, but I didn't want easy. I want what was right, what was fair, what I deserved through over 40 years in this program. I know today that not everything has my name on it. Just because I exist, I'm not deserving of everything. Every good fortune, every man, every friend, every job. Some things don't have my name on it for reasons I can't completely understand. And today, I know I don't need to understand everything. So I go on, you know, it's really easy to admit I'm powerless over food. I'm binging and starving in OA. You know, I make a decision to turn my life and will over to God. And I want to say in this 9 years, fabulous things were happening. I got off the shift. I moved out of my mother's home. I worked at a bigger, brighter hospital where there was more going on. And I traveled all around the world. And one of the things I did a couple of years into the program is I decided to live in Jamaica. And I lived there for 6 months with my best friend. And remember, this is in the 9 years I'm having problems abstaining. And there, we lived in a little town called Port Antonio. And when I tell you there was nothing to eat, there was nothing to eat. Rice, bananas, and you didn't want to spend all your money at a restaurant because it would run out, you know, soon. And there was nothing to binge on. You know what I did? In the middle of the night, I stood behind the hotels when they got their shipments in of Raisin Bran, and I bought black market Raisin Bran that was meant for the hotels. And I poured sweetened condensed milk on it and binged on that in Jamaica with, you know, without a job to blame, without my mother to blame. And my mom used to say, who are you going to blame for all your troubles when I'm dead and gone? And I said, well, I'm still going to blame you. You're just not going to be here to hear it. But she was right. I had nothing to blame. I didn't have a job. I only knew one person in the country, the person I went with. And I met a crazy alcoholic over there. And just to show you my Al-Anon-ism, if I was speaking at Al-Anon, this is the story I would tell you. Within 3 weeks out of meeting this alcoholic, I was jumping out of moving cars. That's how crazed I was, you know. So as you can see, my only problem is not my eating disorder. You probably figured that out. I have problems with the way that I perceive the world. And because of my perceptions, I need a sponsor. Because when I have faulty perceptions, then I act in a way that is inappropriate. In fact, you know, when I was growing up, I was kind of an obnoxious kid. So I would either be told to get shut up or I would be hit. But there was never any trying to, there was never any natural consequences, you know. The first person to say these words to me was my sponsor. Oh, Helen, you can't do that. That's inappropriate. I had never, I think most kids hear that growing up. You can't do that. You can't say that. I never heard that growing up. A sponsor told me that. So because of my stunted development, many women in Overeaters Anonymous continue to raise me as if I were their child. And I'm forever grateful for that. You know, I was really annoying. I wouldn't have wanted to sponsor me. And I was just stuck in a rut of dating men who were unavailable, could not support themselves through their own contributions. And the last man that I dated that was like that, I was 34 years old. I'm 68 now. Was an unemployed 300-pound musician. And when he walked out that door, I said, God, whatever it is in me that would have me attracted to a guy like that, I am now willing that you take it. And that meant I had to date somewhat boring men, predictable men. And that was probably the hardest addiction I could give up. My need to be excited and, you know, on fire about something all the time. And, you know, within a year of that, I met somebody and got married, a normal man, self-supporting through his own contributions, had not been married before. No kids, had a job, a little bit older than me. And we were married for 9 years before we divorced. But I think we had a very amicable divorce because I did a lot of writing. And before we split up, my sponsor really, really helped me. She wouldn't allow me to say anything that I didn't run, and I'd say, I'm going to say this and this and this. And she'd go, no, you're going to say this and this and this, you know, and she taught me things to be more appreciative of him, to live in the moment, to stop projecting. We ended up getting a divorce, just to give you an idea of how amicable it was. You know, we raised our daughter together. We did not use an attorney. We split everything down the middle. And we ended a 9-year marriage with no debt, which is just incredible. I mean, that's just amazing, you know? And that is all gifts of this program. So let me just tell you about how I stay abstinent. It is just my belief for every diet, there's an equal and opposite binge. It's just a matter of when it's coming. It's coming. So I can't diet. So just as I can sit here and honestly tell you, I haven't had a donut or candy in 24 years. That's my length of abstinence now. I can also tell you I haven't had a lean cuisine. I haven't went on a cleanse. I haven't done anything trendy. I haven't taken any weird pills that are the fashion of the day. I stay, so that's how I abstain. I have 3 meals a day. Sometimes I have a snack. It's just really surprising that I put on weight aging because I said, this isn't going to happen to me. I'm so active. I walk every day. I cycle. I swim. It's unbelievable to me that I could have this extra weight on, but I do have a little extra weight on. But my bottom line abstinence, I have not broken. And I've got to, you know, at this point in time, you know, COVID really wasn't an excuse, but we didn't. I went to a lot of Zoom meetings, but we have one meeting in person in Long Beach. It's on a Tuesday night. It's in the same time slot. So if anybody wants to come down, you can be our speaker. But let me just tell you, when I married Jeff, which was many, many years ago, I'm married to a different person now. But when I had my first and only child at 40, because I spent a lot of time in this program and I finished my college degree at 57. I spent a lot of this time spinning my wheels, worrying about things I couldn't control, dieting, overeating, feeling guilty. And that's why I'm kind of a late bloomer, you know, kind of a late learner. But one of the stories that I often tell is about my mother in this wedding. You know, my mother had some personality problems. I don't know what it is. One time a therapist asked me, does mental illness run in your family? And I said, I don't know. My mother was either evil or she was mentally ill. So you tell me, I'll tell you the story. You tell me which one she is. Because I would prefer to say at this point, she's mentally ill, because that lets her off the hook like you all have let me off the hook. You have made me blameless for everything. You know, while I'm not a victim, I'm not to blame either. You know, I have agency, I have autonomy, I'm responsible, but I'm not to blame. And that's, you know, something I had to struggle with, because I feel guilty sometimes over things. But anyway, my mother went with me to try on a wedding dress. Remember, this is, I didn't get married until I was 35. And so you'd think it would be this big deal, you know. And so I come out of the room, I stand up on that little platform, they pull that tray on the back of me, and my mom's gone. She's outside the wedding shop smoking a cigarette and never saw me in the dress.
That's 2 minutes, 2 minute warning. Okay.
And of course, this was a lot of writing, 10 steps. Where have I been? Selfish, self-seeking, fearful, and dishonest. I'm angry that I even have to ask myself what my part in this was. I'm just so mad. I'm yelling at my sponsor. You tell me. Is this too much to ask of a mother? Is it? And she said, no, you deserve that. It is not too much to ask from a mother. It's too much to ask of your mother. And there we are. 2 + 2 = 4. This is the mother you got. This is the mother God blessed you with. This is the mother that has helped you in many, many ways. You know, there were some good things mixed in with her insanity. But I believe today, my life from the beginning I was born, my dad died when I was real little, was constructed for my growth and development, my spiritual growth and development, and everything that happens to me, good or bad, is for a reason. And my role is to accept life on life's terms, to accept reality, to relax, take it easy, quit manipulating. And that's why I abstain, because I continue to act in a sane, natural way without my usual theatrics, as long as I'm a part of this fellowship and working these steps. So I thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Ira.